it's just not fair to the other media, Darren. The lineup you've got for Friday today, it's just not fair to all the other TV shows and radio shows. Oh, hello, and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host, and man, do we have a Friday for you. Second hour, Dr. Ray Guarendi from Catholic Radio and Catholic TV. And everywhere else on earth, the great Dr. Ray Guarendi will be our guest. We're going to talk about his new book about adoption. This hour, Rose Sweet. So just think about that. You start with Rose Sweet, you finish with Ray Guarendi. That is a pretty good Friday. Rose Sweet, thanks for being with us.
It's my pleasure. I can't wait. Dr. Ray is the best. I just had to get that out of the way.
Don't say that when you're here. Say that when you're on his show.
Had me on his show in forever.
So then he's not the best anymore.
Oh, yeah, that's
Move
right.
Move him to second best. Look at this, Rose. I forgot to button up my collar before we started the show. So I'll be buttoning while I'm talking. So we're going to talk a little bit with you. Well, first of all, Rose. Rose Sweet, you can find her at rosesweet.com, the author of a whole bunch of wonderful books. One of the great Catholic speakers of our time.
Oh, thank you.
And I just was like bowled over the first time I heard you speak. You know, I've heard that many, I've said that to you many times.
There you go. Thank you.
And also a great life coach. You do coaching for people.
I love life coaching. I really, you know, it's how people, we love our faith. We love our Catholic faith. You get good apologetics from Catholic Answers. Then how do you go home and really incorporate that into your day-to-day and all your relationships? That's what I love to help people do.
It is beautiful. You should visit Rose at rosesweet.com. But today is a beautiful day, and I hope this is the last one of these that we will have under the current legal regime in the United States. I feel so hopeful. And I tried not to get my hopes up about the Roe v. Wade thing, but they are totally up now. And so I don't care. I'm going to be crushed if it doesn't come because I just feel my hopes are up. But you know what today is. What
today
are we doing?
Today is we're celebrating the March for Life.
Yeah.
And all over the country, Washington, D.C., there are Catholics of all sorts there. Marching and protesting and praying and loving and counseling and doing all good things to help everybody respect life. And we focus mostly on, in most conversations, the poor innocent baby in the womb who is under the threat of abortion.
Yeah.
And that's where our topic came in today is Fulton Sheen, many years ago, kind of coined the term for us in modern day of spiritual adoption. And he encouraged us to all spiritually adopt a baby who is in danger of being aborted. And that means, we'll talk about more about what that means, but especially to begin to pray for that baby and his or her mother.
If you'd like to talk with Rose about spiritual adoption, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884. Rose would appreciate it if you did. She tells me all the time, I would rather talk to the callers than talk to you. So 888-318-7884.
No, that's not exactly how I say it.
884. Sounds like that to me. I don't know. 888-318-7884. All right, tell us about this spiritual adoption thing.
Okay, so for today, I brought four little points that we can kind of focus on.
Okay.
And then I'm going to give four rules for spiritual, if you want to spiritually adopt somebody.
Okay.
I have four little rules. So how does spiritual adoption come about anyway? First of all, God is our Father. God's our Father. That he revealed himself to us as that. And that means something. What do fathers do? How do they view their children? And in Ephesians, it says that we are predestined for adoption into God's family. And he wants us to be his. He wants us in that community of love. He wants forever.
Right.
So if we don't agree or we struggle with the whole thing that God really is a loving father, we're not quite going to get spiritual adoption.
Yeah, because I think people struggle, probably you know this a lot firsthand from the folks that you work with, but there's this woundedness around fathers in many, many ways. I think a lot of us who are fathers are aware of it. Like, am I doing the stuff that they'll be talking to Rose about in 15 years? And like, am I doing that stuff right now? But the fatherhood of God is a perfect fatherhood.
It is, and it's been under attack since the beginning because it is so beautiful and so powerful. The second point is that the Bible tells us this is nothing new. It's full of references to adoption, being adopted sons and daughters of God the Father, the loving Father. St. Paul especially talks about it in Romans and Ephesians and where else? Galatians. So you can do a word search in Scripture about adoption. It's really, really beautiful. You know that the person is at one point outside of a family, outside of safety,
right,
security, love. And that's what happened to us in the garden. We kind of got kicked outside the family. Like,
right.
My husband and I actually did have to kick out one of our boys and put his stuff on the sidewalk one day, and that's another story. But this is an invitation to come back into the family and receive all the benefits, all the graces, all the privileges, and carry the responsibilities of the family.
By the way, 888-318-7884, we're talking spiritual adoption on this day of the March for Life here in the United States, 888-318-7884. So identifying God as Father, the first thing to know about spiritual adoption, it's not some abstract thing, it's very concrete. The Father loves you and wants you adopted into His family.
That's right. So He's the one that initiates this whole adoption process. And we participate in it, and the Bible tells us about that. In fact, we know throughout, there's lots of stories of adoption. Moses was adopted. Joseph was adopted by Pharaoh.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus was adopted in a certain sense by Saint Joseph. Esther was adopted by Mordecai. So we are a people who are meant to belong in family and be where it's safe and loving and protected. And we, for whatever reason, we find ourselves outside, we are all called to help bring people back into the family, spiritual adoption.
Yeah, and there's a way in which, if you had to sum up, what is Christianity about? What is the incarnation of God and Jesus Christ about? What are all these sacraments about? Sum it up in one thing. You can essentially sum it up to be made sons and daughters of the living God.
Yes, and that's my third point. Listen to this. The Catechism of the Catholic Church, number 456, says, why did the Word become flesh? Why did God take on flesh and come down? And they concisely say, sum it up in these four points. First, to reconcile us to the Father.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever displease your dad?
Never.
I know that was a stupid
my
question.
My lucky father to have me as a son.
Do you know anybody? Do you know anybody who displeased?
All of my brothers and sisters did.
Okay.
I never did, Rose. Please don't ask him about this.
Would somebody please spiritually adopt Cy because he's in need of major prayers? Okay, never mind. Okay, so the first reason that the Word became flesh was to reconcile us to the Father. Moms are really good at that.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Number two, Jesus became flesh so that we would know the Father's love for us. And number three, so that He could model the Father's love for us in the flesh. And then the fourth reason that Jesus became flesh, the Word became flesh, was so that we could actually be partakers in God's divine nature.
St. Peter, second letter of St. Peter, first chapter.
What this says is not only are we in the family, we get to share in His power, His glory, His suffering. We get to share in everything. And I was thinking kind of humorously, the first time I was aware that I had authority under my mother and father is when my mom wrote me a note to take to the grocery store to buy her cigarettes. Back in the day, in the 50s and 60s, right?
Yeah.
Dear Eddie, you know, he was the pharmacist, give my daughter a pack of cigarettes and I'll pay you later. And I marched down with my letter of authority because I belonged to my family and I was sharing in my mother's adulthood in a certain sense. She brought me into that and let me share in it. Now, I wasn't my mother. I didn't have the full authority.
No, but you were granted some of that authority.
I was granted some of it.
By Lucky Strikes.
Pell Mill, I think it was.
Oh.
So I love that. Okay, so God is our Father. The Bible affirms this and tells us of many, many stories of adoption, spiritual and physical. And we know why Jesus came, so that we could be reconciled to the Father and share in His, not just share in His divine nature, but specifically in His fatherhood, in His parenthood. We all who are parents are sharing in God's original parenthood. And the fourth point is, that means because He adopted us, we can adopt others. there it is. There's the 4 points.
That last one you're going to have to unpack for us a little bit, because we're talking spiritual adoption. Rose Sweet is our guest. Today is the March for Life. Second hour, Dr. Ray Guarendi will be here to talk with us about adoption in the more natural sense, not the supernatural sense, but in the more natural sense, the sense of adopting children, as he and his wife have done many times. Your calls are welcome for Rose this hour, 888-318-7884. I have to take the first break. We'll do that and come back. And I do want you to flesh out that fourth point a bit. I'm very curious.
Will.
Oh,
I
you will?
Will.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Right back with Rose Sweet.
Catch Catholic Answers Live anytime at Catholic.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
Each week on The World Over, Raymond Arroyo challenges listeners and viewers with important political and cultural reporting and analysis of a wide variety of topics of interest to Catholics and people of faith. And you can get news from The World Over in your inbox every week. It's easy. Visit EWTN.com and click subscribe. EWTN, the Global Catholic Network.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host, in the midst of an amazing Friday lineup. Rose Sweet here. First hour, second hour, Dr. Ray Guarendi. Does that mean you're opening for him, or does that mean that he's closing for you?
I know he's going to try to slam me in the next hour, but you know what? I'm going to take the path.
He always says such nice things about you.
He does not.
I don't.
Does he?
My experience has been he's extremely... complimentary of you. That's the word. Yeah, it seems like such a basic word. Why could I not come up with the word?
Because it's
you're
a
flustering
lie.
Me, Rose. Okay. You're flustering me. Yes, I've never heard him say it. Like you say a lot of mean things about him, but he never.
Because
says
he says
anything.
Mean things to me in private.
Does he? Yeah.
But on
he's
the
an
radio.
Awful person.
No,
an
I know.
Awful person.
I know. No,
but
I
you know
him.
He's kidding, right?
No, I
like,
love him. I love him to death.
It's
he's
pretty
hilarious.
Hard not to love him.
Yeah.
The number is 888-318-7884. We're talking about spiritual adoption. We're going to come to the phones in just a quick second, but I want Rose to finish up your fourth idea there about spiritual adoption.
Well, we know a lot about spiritual adoption by just looking at physical adoption. When I was a little girl, my mom and dad had 8 children. Good Catholic family. Dad made a lot of money. He was a real estate developer in Sacramento. And I remember being the oldest, I was privy to some of their conversations around the dinner table. And I remember them saying that God had blessed them and they had plenty of room for somebody else around the table. There was still room around our dining table. My dad had taken an old door and taken the handle out and put tile on it and made a big long as a door is, a table for all of his little 8 kids. And they went down to the Sacramento Adoption Agency and adopted our brother. I got a new brother.
Wow. Can I just tell you something? My parents have 7 kids.
Yeah.
My dad did the same darn thing with the door. He made a table out of... Is this
really?
Like an old Catholic father
yes.
trick? Like, I can't afford a table. We got
really?
A door around here we're not using?
Isn't
yeah.
that funny? And then yeah. Did you have tile on it?
No. It didn't have tile. No, it was...
He sanded it down and whatever.
Whatever. I don't know,
I know
what he did to it.
but you know what? Okay.
It's not a woodworking show, Rose.
I know, but listen to this.
Yeah.
Shut up.
Whoa! Listen. You can't say that on
EWTN.
Yes,
EWTN. I can.
This is EWTN. All right, go ahead.
I can go to confession later.
Okay.
Okay. That's part of our Father's provision.
Yeah.
Getting that table and finding a way to make room for all the children.
Right.
It really is. We're laughing about it. But that's what fathers, that's what mothers, that's what parents do. They provide,
right.
they protect, they feed, they counsel. Anyway, we had a new brother. And he wasn't treated any differently than the rest of us. Mm-hmm. We weren't allowed to say this is our adopted brother. We said, this is our brother, David. And he was entitled to all the privileges, even legally, with our last name, the father's name.
Yes.
We now had he had access to all the rights and privileges that any one of us had. And he also carried the burden of the responsibilities. He had to do chores. He had to obey the rules. He had to be kind and courteous. He had to go to school, make his bed.
What an image of the Christian life, though.
It really is.
All the privileges of being a full family member the moment you're in.
Right.
And then all the responsibilities that come with that as well.
Right. And this is what we're talking about. I'm going to talk about the four rules then. If you want to spiritually adopt somebody or understand this, you got to understand how to do it right. It's not just saying, okay, I picked this person. I'm going to say, Our Father, Hail Mary, glory be every day for them. Amen. I mean, that's a good start.
Yeah.
But there is a lot more to it.
Okay. All right.
So are we ready to go there?
Yeah. Right. Okay. I mean, you're coming right up against my fear of commitment, but yes.
Oh, somebody needs to spiritually, you need a coach. That's what you need. No, I'm teasing. So when I got older and I was a single woman who was making good money, I was in the real estate business. I bought myself a house. I was waiting for somebody to propose to me and they weren't coming along. Mm-hmm. And I had that same gift in me that my mom and dad had passed on. I had money. I had a dining table. I had a roof and I had love in my heart. So I went down to my local county and I adopted a little girl who nobody else wanted. As a single person, that was very rare back in the day. But it was, and this is the word, it's an act of generosity. It's an opening of the heart and the mind and maybe even the pocketbook to bring somebody in to receive all the benefits of love that are appropriate to that relationship. So it's a way to go. If anybody out there feels called by this conversation to explore or investigate, open your heart and see where God takes you with
this. Amen to that. Amen to that. I've been on the other side of it for, working with children, waiting for someone to adopt them for years and years. And it's when you see it from that side, you get a sense of, you can't even believe the good that you're doing for this child. Like a good that's beyond anything else the child is even dreaming of is to go home.
Well, and it doesn't mean that it's all going to be a bed of roses, as with any naturally born child.
It's not all just a rom-com movie?
No. You will need to draw on the graces of the sacraments and your baptism and the teachings of the church. Parenting is hard. You know that.
Yeah.
But it's also very rewarding and richly, richly participatory in the divine nature of God.
Yeah, right.
That's what it's all about.
Can I ask you something? I'm just going to spring this on you. Did you hear what the Pope said the other day about dogs?
Yes.
I kind of thought he was right on about us.
I thought he was right on, too, that they're not to be a substitute for children.
No, and I think we're afraid of children or something. The younger generation is afraid of everything, and God bless them. I don't blame them for it. It's our fault that they have these terrors of marriage and family and children. But stop being afraid.
Well, and it's not just afraid, it's lazy. Have a caveat here. There are people who legitimately love pets, and pets are a blessing to them, and they have their pets appropriately. But there are people who don't want to put forth the effort that a real human relationship requires.
Oh.
When you come home, the dog runs to the door, or whatever,
Right.
They unconditionally love you. Do your children always unconditionally love you or your spouse?
I can't even get them to conditionally love me sometimes.
I know. Right?
Yeah,
So it's easier to pick up a little poo and fill the dog dish and have that dog. And I love animals. But yes, it can creep into the disorder. And I think that's what our Holy Father was addressing.
So open the heart to children. And I feel like we had to open the heart to children to receive children the natural way and open the heart to receive the children who may be in need of adoption.
Exactly.
And shower all that love that you're showering on Fido on a human being who has an eternal soul.
Exactly, exactly. And it doesn't even need to be a child.
Yeah.
There are a lot of young adults or even older people who are lonely and without family.
Yes.
And outside family.
Right.
People who are in prison.
Yeah.
People who are suffering from mental illness. They're just this solitude and this loneliness that we can help with our spiritual adoption.
I didn't even think about it. Mm-hmm. I had this friend years ago who started being a pen pal to a guy on death row here in California.
Mm.
And the guy, you know, it's not like one of those, he was unjustly, no, he deserved to be on death row. But
right.
This was a very Christian act of this accompanying this guy. And like in California, death row means you're just in a different part of the prison. They don't actually put anybody to death, but it's an awful thing. But that's a kind of adoption, isn't it? That this person and didn't take the commitment lightly. It's not like one letter or something. This was a lifetime commitment to walk with this person.
Well, and I'm glad you brought up that word commitment, because that is what spiritual adoption really does require. It's not just a temporary thing. We don't just temporarily have our kids in our house and go, oh, well, you're 12 and I don't like the way you make your bed, you're out. You know, it's a long-term commitment.
I don't like the way you make your bed, you're out. What kind of parenting?
I don't know. Not me, but maybe somebody out there. Sai,
yeah.
Be careful.
Yeah,
that's okay.
Well, okay. Yeah, I know. Right.
Okay,
so somebody probably has done that. You're right. There's probably some, right. I'm sorry to hear that. Go on, Rose.
Okay.
I'll stop talking now.
No, don't ever stop talking. By the way, people email me all the time and they go, we love when you're on the show because we love Sai. I get people always tell me, please, if you love Sai, he's not paying me. No, keep your money. Send him an email. Let him know.
I need it so bad.
No, I'm serious.
I can't even get my children to love me.
No, we. You know what?
When
we do love an actor, an actress, or an author, speaker, a teacher, a radio host,
yeah.
Let them know.
But George Clooney never writes me back.
Well,
never.
I told you need a coach.
Right. All right.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Let's go into the four rules of spiritual adoption.
All right. Let's do it.
Number one. God is the ultimate father, and you have to believe he's in charge.
Amen. All right.
If you spiritually adopt somebody, it is not your complete and sole responsibility to save that person, to get that person
right.
to hell.
Right.
You are...
To hell, to heaven, you mean. Out of...
See, you have me flustered now,
Rose.
Too.
Good Lord.
Okay, focus, Rose.
Yeah.
Okay, God, we're participating in God's fatherhood in spiritual adoption. We're not carrying the big giant load. It's, you know, we're sharing in it. And that's a consolation because we don't have the burden of saving people. That's the Holy Spirit's job. So it's, remember, if you're going to spiritually adopt somebody, remember, you're not now stepping into the position where you have to save their soul. You can never save their soul.
Right, right.
That's God's job.
Yeah. All right.
And if you falter or you fail and you're weak or you forget, it is the Father who will come behind you and beside you and do what is necessary for that person. Okay, rule number two, know the difference between love and attachment.
Okay.
Can you tell me the difference between love and attachment?
I actually don't think I could probably guess. But I guess it would be that love is an act of will for the good of the other person, and attachment is sort of an emotional level thing. That's the way I would guess. But
okay, you're right on.
What?
Yes.
Oh my gosh, I am good at this, Rose.
You are
you're
very
right.
good. You're very good. Okay, so there's nothing wrong with attachment in a general sense, but we in the Catholic Church call inordinate attachment when we're too hanging on too tight. In other words, I got to pray more. I got to offer more masses. I got to go meet that person. They're living in sin. I'm their spiritual mother, father.
Yeah.
And now we're attached to the outcome.
Right.
Too much. And we still have love, but it's kind of poisoned with attachment and ego and fear and anxiety and over-responsibility. So all of us parents go through that. So know the difference between love and attachment. Love is just what you said, willing, not just willing their very best, but being willing to do or not do whatever it's in your possibility to make that happen.
Right.
So.
Okay.
Okay. Number three, parent them spiritually as good, healthy parents, as God parents. Okay. How does God parent? Describe how to me how God the Father has parented his people, his children.
Well, he taught them and walked among them and then gave his life for them.
Yes. Did he do anything else?
But I'm saying them like it's not me. But
well, no, that's okay.
Yeah,
what else did he do? Did he ever get mad at him?
Well, yes. Yeah.
And did he ever withhold his favor from his people?
Oh, yeah. That exile in Babylon thing wasn't good.
Mm-hmm. 400 yeah. years.
Was that what it was? 400 years?
I think.
All right.
Ask the apologists.
I know. You and I are not going to sit here and argue about Bible passages. All right. You got to wait to give us more.
Okay.
All right.
To be continued.
Rose Sweet is here. That's almost always good news. Sometimes I owe her money, then it's not that good of news. But right now, I don't owe her anything. So why are you looking at me like that, Rose?
Almost,
you know I'm playing around.
Almost good news.
888-318-7884. We continue with our conversation about spiritual adoption. And I am going to get to calls when we come back.
Have you enrolled in the Catholic Answers School of Apologetics? Let me ask you a more important question. Do you believe as a Catholic that you have an obligation to share the Catholic faith? In fact, the Church has answered this question, and the answer is that all confirmed Catholics are obliged to share the faith. It's actually in canon law. Catholic Answers is here to help you fulfill that obligation. Our School of Apologetics courses will equip you to help all the people you come in contact with understand what the Church teaches and why. A great place to start is with all the Catholics in your life. Learn the art of apologetics from the best of the best and start sharing the gospel today. Visit schoolofapologetics.com. That's schoolofapologetics.com. Here's a question. Is it really possible to be friends with someone who died 2,000 years ago? Maybe the problem is that we've grown way too comfortable with the story of Jesus. Nice man, right? Taught us to love one another, said not to judge people. We celebrate his birthday every year. It's time to put away this small, safe version of Jesus, says Cy Kellett. Nobody that bland could have transformed the world. In A Teacher of Strange Things, Cy presents Jesus Christ undiluted by sentiment, with all his radical words and deeds uncensored. Do you know someone, your son or daughter perhaps, or maybe your mom or dad, who needs the friendship of Jesus Christ? Do you? Order your copy of A Teacher of Strange Things by visiting shop.catholic.com today or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Did you know you can access Catholic Answers Live right from your phone or other mobile device? Download the Catholic Answers Live app today. The Catholic Answers Live app, available now on iOS and Android.
Monday on More to Life, Imposter Syndrome.
Do you feel like you're not up to the challenges in your life? We'll help you discover your strengths.
That's Monday on More to Life. Now back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back, Catholic Answers Live. Rose Sweet is here. It's always a good thing. Always, every time. I've never once had that not be a good thing to have
Thank
Rose around. 888-318-7884-888-31-TRUTH. We're talking about spiritual adoption. For one thing, any kind of culture of life, if we really believe in a culture of life, is going to be a culture that includes physical adoption and spiritual adoption.
Exactly.
We're going to have to care for one another, in other words. Like, you can't have a culture of life that's just like, well, oh, we got abortion outlawed, therefore, that's not a culture of life yet. That's just the beginning. A real culture of life is where we welcome one another and care for one another and adopt one another's needs as our own needs.
And as you said earlier, in a committed and a consistent way. And that's the difference between praying for somebody for a special occasion or including them in your rosary versus really spiritually adopting them. It's a committed and consistent connection,
right,
where you bring them into your prayers or, and I'll talk about coming up right now, other ways that you can do that.
All right. Do you want to
yep.
do that or, okay.
So let's talk about the four rules again. The first one is just remember who's in charge. Remember that God is the ultimate Father. He's in control and he's smarter. He's more powerful.
Mm-hmm.
You're just called in to participate in his parenthood with him. Number two, know the difference between love and attachment. Affection and love are not always the same. Attachment is usually about the outcome. I got to pray harder. I got to pray more. And sometimes that's true. But the anxiety and fear that can creep in means you've taken on too much of the responsibility.
Ah, okay. Yeah.
Number three, parent as God parents. And I love, we can read in scripture how God parents. He never withholds his love, but when necessary, he withholds his favor.
Yeah.
Now let's talk about my son, whose name I will not name on the radio, but he had a hard time being launched. He didn't want to leave the nest, and he wasn't doing what he was supposed to be doing. So we counseled him, comforted him, talked to him, equipped him, yelled at him, you know, blah, blah, blah. And finally we had to say, okay, if you don't go do what you're supposed to do, we're going to pack all your stuff and put it on the sidewalk.
Mm-hmm.
And when I tell people that we really did this, they are shocked. They don't think that's Christian or loving. And I'm like, but that's what God did and still does to us.
It's like the Garden of Eden.
Right, to change our hearts, to change the way we think. So the day came, and I remember I was a little tougher than my husband, and but we were on the same page, and we put his stuff on the sidewalk, and he was furious. He felt horrible, and we told him, we're not withholding our love, mm-hmm. but we're withholding our favor. Because you got a job to do. Within 2 to 3 weeks, he had a place to live, he had a job, and ever since he's been on his own and doing a great job.
Yeah.
And if we would have coddled him year after year and kept talking to him and praying, and we had to put our love into action.
Right.
And that's what God does. So here's what I love. The spiritual works of mercy are the ways we can parent like God. Do you remember what they are? Because I did put them down on my little piece of paper.
The spiritual works of mercy?
Yeah, not the corporal.
I know, the corporal ones are easier for me. All right, spiritual works of mercy. Edgar, I'm looking right at you. You're supposed to be saying them to me so I can pretend like
hint?
I know them. No, yeah, go ahead.
When you teach somebody, you are...
Teaching them. Helping them learn things.
Instruct.
This is going to be a terrible quiz show. Okay. You better just say them.
Instruct the ignorant.
Instructing the ignorant. That's what I was going to say, yeah.
Instruct the ignorant. So in other words... Yeah. The person that you've spiritually adopted, maybe they need to know a little bit more about their faith or about God or about living a good Christian life. You might have to teach them a little bit, right? Counsel the doubtful.
Mm-hmm.
Comfort the afflicted.
Comfort the afflicted.
Right?
Yeah.
Admonish the sinner. Ooh, bing, 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 bing. Wait a minute. Most people put that at the top of the list. Yes, I need to admonish the sinner.
I know. Some people just love admonishing the sinner.
No. You don't do that until you've listened to them, you've taught them, you've listened again, you've counseled them, you've comforted them. Then the other ones are bear wrongs patiently.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't every parent do that? They do these.
Oh, definitely. I mean, yeah.
Forgive easily and pray for the living and the dead. And I think that means the living and the spiritually dead. So even if somebody is far, you've adopted somebody spiritually, they're in a life of sin, you don't know how they're ever going to come back, you do not stop praying for them. You never despair of God's mercy and of hope. So,
all right, Rose, now you ready to go to calls?
Oh, yeah, calls.
Every single person hung up on us while we were talking. We just talked too long, Rose.
I'm sorry, but I just love this stuff. It's good,
me too.
Isn't it?
It's just you and
okay,
me.
Okay, maybe Dr. Ray's going to have the better show.
No, he's not.
I knew it.
888-318-7884. We just wore him out, Rose. 888-318-7884. We're talking about spiritual adoption. 888-318-7884. I hadn't thought about, like, you know, adopting... The child, and maybe the mother of the child, when a child is, when there's some, you know, risk of abortion is how you started. That was Fulton Sheen's idea. But you mentioned older folks, and I feel like there are many older folks who need someone to adopt them.
There are lots of them, and I work with a lot of really tender-hearted women who are so good with the aged.
Mm-hmm.
That's a unique gift, and that's a unique share in God's parenting, his parenthood, and his love, that they have such a tender heart for old people. They're good with kids, too, but really they go out to the aging. And so, you know, I think a lot of your listeners might be in that position, too.
Well, how much of this involves that? Because, you know, there's certain people... like I always say this to Carlo, you know, he's really good with middle school kids. I'm terrified of middle school. I mean, I'm not terrified of them, but I realize that the connection doesn't always get made clearly between me and a group of middle age. And he can do that. There's people who are fantastic at preschool. There's right. people who are. So in considering this kind of spiritual adoption of others, I suppose you should consider your own gifts and talents.
Exactly. Anybody can pray for anybody. But once you start getting physically, emotionally, financially, or otherwise involved, you want to find, you know, is this my strength? Is this where I really shine? And has God equipped me for this? You know, God can equip everybody, but it is a lot easier and very joyful when you're working in your strengths.
888-318-7884 is the number. Rose Sweet is our guest. We're talking about spiritual adoption, a society that involves more adoption. I'd posit would be a much more pro-life society, and that's what we're talking about today on this day of the March for Life. You're welcome to call with your questions about spiritual adoption. Maybe this is something you think. I'm a person who's very good at praying. I do have that charism, and I could pray for the unborn. Maybe you're someone who's very, very good at accompanying people who are in their senior years or in their younger years, and you'd like to think about making that kind of spiritual adoption, making someone precious to you so that they know that they are precious to the Lord. 888-318-7884.
I just remembered in grade school, and I think you probably did this too, that we would adopt a little baby from Africa, you know, and that we got their picture, and they
had
a
name. And
you
had to fill that little milk carton with coins.
No, yeah. We were spiritually adopting children. We were children spiritually adopting children. That's beautiful.
Yeah, it was always very intense when the missionaries would come and speak to us in because they would tell you about these situations where you're like, I had no idea the world was like that, but there was something you could do about it because you have the Catholic Church. Like, you're not just like, I don't just live, you know, 11,000 miles away from a kid who's living like that. I've got this little, I can fill this little milk carton that they gave me with coins over the next 40 days. That's how we used to do it. And then I can give it to this missionary and it's going to go to this kid. And
the missionary who's participating in the parenthood too is like the big happy family and they're making it happen. We are family. That should be our theme song.
Family. 888-318-7884. The calls are starting to come back in, so we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with more talking spiritual adoption with Rose Sweet.
This is Archbishop Paul Coakley, the Archdiocese of Oklahoma City, and you're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Do you love praying for people? Have you ever wanted to use your gift of prayer to share Jesus with others and build up the body of Christ? Start a public prayer station with St. Paul Street Evangelization. Listen to people's needs, pray with them, or invite them to meet you at church. St. Paul Street Evangelization can help you get started. Find out how at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
One of the reasons we should go to Mass is because, if you look in the Catechism, you will see the fruits of Holy Communion. And these are remarkable things that we can receive at every Mass that we attend. We encounter the risen Lord, and He shares something of His divine life and love with us.
The Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, live from the EWTN Chapel, every morning, 8 Eastern, on EWTN Radio and Television.
Welcome back, Catholic Answers Live. Yes, Rose, I was pounding on the desk. No, it's during the break. I can drum on the desk during the break.
Oh, okay.
Rose, you know, I do this show every day without you. You don't have to come
in. I feel like I should spiritually adopt you,
I think you probably should.
Okay.
All right, we got a bunch of calls now, so I'm going to stop all the chatting with you.
Okay.
Which is because it's one of my favorite things to do, is go to
the
calls.
Too.
We'll go to Grant in Houston, Texas, listening on 1430 AM Guadalupe Radio. Grant, we're so happy to have you. Please go ahead with your question for Rose Sweet.
Hi. I was wondering if there was some emasculation occurring in you kicking your son to the curb or leading the charge with you kicking your son to the curb. You used the phrase that you were tougher than your husband in that moment. And I raise the question because it harkens some memories for me. I'm 29 on my own. My parents divorced. My mom was tougher than my dad. And I have this, it arouses anger when I hear stories like that, because I think my mom emasculated me in ways. And it causes me despair of ever being a good father and a husband who can lead the family well.
Grant, I am so glad that you called. And, you know, let me clarify. Yes, there are women who will emasculate. They will shove their spouse out of the way and take charge, and they do a lot of damage. It's not loving at all. My husband and I were on the same page after much talking and praying back and forth, and we were in agreement, except I have a natural temperament that once we make up our mind, I go and get the job done, like cleaning the kitchen. And he'll wait a little bit. That's all I meant by that. We were very much together. Our son was almost 18, and he was very aware of the fact that we loved him. We wanted the best for him. We had spent hours with him building him up, helping him find his own unique gifts and talents. We helped him learn budgets and how to understand to be on his own. We brought some of his friends into the house to sit around and talk about how maybe they could, you know, all rent a house together. So we made it a warm and loving environment for him to go out. But he was terrified, and we knew that. And we decided that in love, and this is the tough thing, to say without yelling or screaming or shaming, no emasculation, you got to find your way, son, and we're here. You come over for dinner. You can watch TV with us, but you got to go find your own way. And by doing that for that child at that time in that way, it was very appropriate and very fruitful. But Grant, please let me affirm that I have seen what you described about your mom and your dad, and it's deeply painful. Please don't despair of being a good dad. The fact that you observed that and saw that as wrong and disordered means that you have a heart and a mind that knows what is right. So keep on the same path. Keep going. Get help if you need it. I'm very thankful for your call.
Thank you. Thank you, Rose.
Thanks, Grant. Thank you very much for the call. The number is 888-318-7884. We'll go now to Mary in Illinois, listening on 92.7 FM. Mary, we're so happy to have you. Go ahead with your question for Rose Sweet.
Thank you. Just had a question. I've got a daughter that lives in another state and a granddaughter. My daughter states that they're atheists. They're very, very, very liberal. Believe in abortion. But my granddaughter is going to be 22, no job, no driver's license, can't pass a drug test because she smokes pot every day for stress. How do I guess the word is spiritually adopt them and help them? My daughter has asked me to pray for them before, but I just saw them not two months ago, and I just literally wanted to cringe because I really wanted to take hold of my granddaughter and just say, Tita, wake up, get on with your life. Instead of just sitting around. What do I do?
Well, Mary, that's tough. I think millions of parents out there are feeling similar situations with a lot of people in their family. First of all, you got to understand where you can move in and maybe say something or not. And maybe you can, maybe you can't. I don't know. But, you know, pray for that. I would put some structure around your prayer life for both of them. Do something daily. Pick some prayers that you like. And here's what I love. There are people that I have spiritually adopted. Thinking of one right now. My heart just goes out to him. And I pray prayers of exorcism for him. The church has beautiful prayers that really get to the root of strongholds that are on people's minds and hearts that keep them recycling this bondage to sin. And keep praying, but consider looking at some of the prayers of exorcism that we have. You can Google them and find a lot on the internet. And I'm sure Catholic Answers here on your website has lots of stuff. I would also, and I'm going to throw this out to everybody. With a lot of my coaching clients, when they are afraid to approach somebody, they'd like to just say what they want to say, but it would cause World War III or it would ruin the relationship. I say, write it down in a letter and work on it. And get it to where you were sitting in front of that person and your words are now perfect. You're sharing your heart and your hopes for them and your fears. Just keep working on that letter. That's therapeutic for you. Offer that to the Lord in your prayer time. And then pray about one day being able to sit down and read that letter to the person, folding it and handing it to them. I've done this in my own life. I have some relatives who went outside the church and I couldn't get their ear, so I wrote them letters. And I sat on those letters for a long time, Si, because I didn't want to be filled with ego and pride and over-responsibility. But I prayed about it, and I would get a clear path to say, you know, just send the letter and fear not. And they always were fruitful. Always were fruitful. So those are some of the ideas, Mary. Yes, you adopt that daughter and granddaughter today.
Okay, I will.
God bless you, Mary. Thank you very much for that call.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Let's go to Columbus, Ohio. Sue in Columbus, Ohio, listening on 820 AM. Sue, go ahead with your question for Rose.
Well, it's not really a question per se, but I just wanted to say I like what I'm hearing. And I also just wanted to express that over the years as a Christian, I've seen maybe where the body of Christ can grow in this, where you're adopting not just children but or seniors, but those middle of the age, the adults, single adults, that really are kind of trying to do life alone.
Yeah.
And, you know, I really like the whole concept of really that commitment there, that you're going to walk with them, and I think, and just discipleship, like we see in the Bible. So, anyway. I just wanted to add that to the mix conversation.
I really appreciate it, Sue.
Yeah, Sue, that's beautiful. Thank you. And I'm going to expand on what you shared, is that, and here's what they say about when you're looking for big donations from people. The people will give their money in a cause that's dear to their heart. They will open up and be most generous in a cause that's dear to their heart. So, Sue, you were mentioned the middle-aged people, okay? And this came to me because of my work. What about spiritually adopting a husband who is not fully invested in his marriage and his wife and children are suffering? You don't even have to know that person, but just ask the Lord to pick that person, and you adopt him. You adopt the wife who is having trouble in her marriage, entertaining thoughts of infidelity or whatever, but she's struggling. We don't have to know the people that we're spiritually adopting. It helps sometimes emotionally when we do, but this is something we can pray about. But what's near and dear to your heart, and then figure out who those people are that you could spiritually adopt.
Okay, Sue?
Yeah.
I really appreciated the way you phrased that these are areas in where the body of Christ has to grow, because it does seem that you know, we have all these problems of in who's left wing and who's right wing and who's this and that in the Catholic Church, but there are some basic acts of charity that we're not doing as a general matter of course as a Catholic community in many places. And among these basic acts of charity are you know, having people into our home, mm-hmm. and caring for them who are lonely or like you said, are attempting to do life alone, which is a terrible, sad mistake. But I really appreciate the way you phrased it, that we need to grow in those areas, Sue.
Sure. Plenty of room to grow. And I think we think about adults, young adults, okay, 20s and 30s. And then after that, whoop, you dropped off the radar.
Exactly.
Yes, right.
Yeah, you're right. Yep. You nailed it.
Sue, I'm going to keep going to get everybody on with Rose, but thank you for the call. All right.
Yep.
Bonnie in St. Louis, listening on 96.7 FM Covenant Radio. Bonnie, glad to have you. Go ahead with your question for Rose.
Hi. My question was, do you make sure that people are aware to be in a state of grace when they, you mentioned exorcism prayers? Because I know that there can be retaliation.
I see what you're saying. Demonic retaliation.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And I'm glad you brought that up. You know, this is an area that is delicate, and we don't want to rush in without knowledge and understanding and think that we're going to, you know, fight the devil. We're not. But exorcism, and we could bring it back down to this I heard once, that saying, blessing yourself in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit is in itself an exorcism prayer. The Lord's Prayer, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, is a prayer of exorcism. In other words, recognizing that there's not just an emotional problem with the person that you're praying for, but there may be some demonic influence there, and that you are asking our Lord in His power and His wisdom to address it all. And you know what? He already knows. He knows it. But what you're doing is entering into and participating in His power in that regard. And yes, thank you for that.
Bonnie, I'm going to say thank you too, because of course the lines are all full now that we're near the end. So I'm going to try to keep moving and get everybody on with Rose. Tim in Toledo, Ohio, listening on Annunciation Radio. Glad to have you, Tim. Go ahead with your question for Rose.
Hi there. Thanks for having me. I was wondering about the specific context of when you're trying to pray for and adopt and encourage your siblings to kind of come back to the church. In my case, my parents have both died, and every time I try to, encourage that, I get kind of, well, who are you to tell me what to do? So I'm wondering if you have any advice about addressing this sort of the sibling issue, especially if you're the oldest one.
Tim, I am the oldest, and I don't just understand. I've lived through it. So, yes, I've been slapped down and told to stick my nose out of it, and that the Catholic Church is the whore of Babylon, and I'm going to hell. But I had to learn. It's a process. You move in. You get slapped or poked or whatever, and you pull back and lick your wounds, and then you go right back to our Lord, our Father, and go, okay, Father, where can I be? Where should I be in this? So you don't give up. You keep praying. You pray by name. But sometimes you ask God's wisdom and grace to see when you can move in and when you have to move out. Sometimes you will be outside of influencing them in conversation or any other way for 20, 30, 40 years, and maybe a whole lifetime. That's a cross, again, that we participate in the sufferings of God, of Jesus. So, yes, adopt your own siblings, but that means, first and foremost, every single day praying for them by name. Does that help?
Thanks. That's great. I think I do need to structure it more.
Yes, yes. It's helped me.
Yeah. Thanks.
Good.
Thanks, Tim. 888-318-7884, the number. Now, coming up next hour, Dr. Ray Guarendi will be here, and we're going to talk about the more traditional sense of the word adoption, that is adopting children who are in need of a family. Is it for you? Should you? Could you? What'll happen if you do? Dr. Ray knows. He's adopted quite a few children himself, and he's worked for as a long time as a therapist. Your calls welcome next hour on about adoption. And maybe you've been thinking about it. Maybe this hour has made you think about maybe our family could make room for one more or two more. Give us a call next hour and talk with Dr. Ray about it, 888-318-7884. If you would like to know more about Rose, get in touch with Rose, see what else she's up to. RoseSuite.com is the place to go, RoseSuite.com. Will you give us your four that you started with, the four rules again of spiritual adoption?
The four rules?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Remember that God is in control. He's the ultimate Father. He's got this. You do not have to save anybody. That's His work. You just participate in it. Number two, know the difference between love and attachment. And love is willing the good of the other, and an inordinate attachment is being a little too worried and concerned and maybe even obsessed about the outcome of your prayers. Parent your spiritual adoptees as God parents. And the way He parents, you can read in Scripture and also follow the spiritual works of mercy. And number four, I didn't get to this, enlist the help of others. Call the saints. Call the angels. Call our Blessed Mother. Call Catholic Answers.
We'll help. We'll pray.
Yeah.
We pray every morning.
Exactly.
We'll pray for them. In the evening, too, but I can't go to the evening prayers because I'm here with you, Rose.
I love it. Thank you, Si.
We'll see you. We'll be right back with Dr. Ray Guarendi. Rose, sweet, thank you. It is always a great delight to get to be with you.
I love being here. Thanks, Si.
All right. We'll take a quick break right back with Dr. Ray Guarendi on adoption.